We know now, and most of us know before, and maybe all of us, we know very well idea about democracy, how democracy looks like. Is it possible to expect respect of human rights from such bureaucrats? We are sure that this is not possible. And we are sure that they will not give us our rights and our dignity without fight. The challenge, guys, which we are taking now, the steps which you are taking now in this protest has to extend and to continue to create this grassroots movement of immigrants and refugees to be able to force those people to listen to us and to respect our dignity. Nobody can get his rights by negotiating with such bureaucrats. We know this from the beginning, but we get more proofs every day that they will never respect the idea of human rights. This country and this Western imperialism, you know how they act and how, you know, we know how they behave. So we are here now, and we just want to send them another message. We are not here to negotiate. We are here to build up this movement and to continue fighting back. And if they want to take us by force, they could do it today, but tomorrow, they think they will be able to do it forever? I don't think so. I think this movement is getting stronger, and I'm so optimistic about our movement. I'm so happy about it. I'm so impressed by all people who I just met friends here. I didn't see them maybe 6 months ago. They just heard about the event and they came to show solidarity with me. Maybe I got just three meetings with them before, and they just got touched by this event. This is the energy which we wanna build on. The energy now should be, we should invest on this energy. We should start working and organizing and to continue fighting. And I'm hoping that we will meet again, and they will not be able to deport you. Is that you? Do you think so? But it is matter of power struggle, and we know from the beginning that it is matter of power struggle. Thanks a lot, and I'm not going to say anything more. Thank you for everyone who came today, and I am so impressed, and I'm so grateful for you all. Thank you.
I'm painting a square near Kader, who's at the middle of the mural. And my square, I wanted to work the theme of the desert crossings that take place at the U.S.-Mexican border and how many people lose their lives trying to walk through the desert to avoid the wall that's being constructed there. And so I took that theme and I've been trying to work with it, and now I have something that to work with, which is basically the desert with some faces in the sand. You can recognize a skull, obviously, for the symbolism of what it implies to walk day and night through the desert, and often they don't have water, although there are organizations along the border, native organizations, church organizations that try to put out water for people that are going through. I wanted to work a little bit with that theme, but now it's going to get too busy and these squares are too small. So it's just a simple little desert scene with footprints.
And then you have a wall in the background. What's that wall?
Yeah, that wall is definitely to represent the wall of death. The walls that are being put up to separate the first world and the third world, the rich from the poor.
So it could be any?
It could be any wall, because they are constructing, obviously they're constructing the wall from California all the way to Texas and the Gulf of Mexico. And at the desert, I'm not sure exactly where all the different constructions are. And it's different in terms, there's some metal areas, there's some just electric areas, laser and so on. But I'm just going to do a standard wall like in Palestine.
Okay, so I'm here with Frida now, looking at another corner of this mural. So can you tell me what you're doing?
Well, I'm making stencils using images that I got, that I found online that are of Palestinians fleeing in the Nakba. So they're, you know, there's groups of them winding their way through this, through the desert, and you know, carrying bundles on their head and kids in their arms, and it was they were, you know, because I reproduced them and copied them on, they have a kind of a good way of dividing up, you know, the parts inside, so I can make stencils of them and, you know, use different colors. And and they're all different sizes too, because I want to get the idea of distance. In front, kind of, I'll have very large ones, and then they'll get smaller and smaller until they're very small, and be sort of roaming, finding their way to a refugee camp. And yeah.
Why did you decide to put these on a mural about Qatar?
Because, you know, in general, I think it's true that most immigration is in one way or another forced. You know, the case of the Palestinians, say, who were actually ethnically cleansed from their country. But for instance, other immigrants, say like Qatar, had to leave his country because there was so much violence there, and he didn't feel safe. And also, as a blind man, he couldn't really get the assistance that he needed. And I think one way or other, like, I don't think there should be a distinction between refugees and immigrants. I think, in fact, they're all refugees, in fact, from, you know, from worlds of war and terror and violence and displacement.
Okay, thank you.
You're very well.
Ophelia, as you know better than anybody, there are people who are risking their lives to cross that imaginary line. There are people who die in the desert trying to make the journey from the south, from Mexico and places further south into the United States. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, as an indigenous person, as someone who is an elder and a grandmother of a nation that traverses that imaginary line, can you speak to that reality of literally hundreds of thousands and millions of people making these treacherous and dangerous journeys to come to the United States? The border fence, the border wall, the National Guard, the border agencies are all there supposedly to stop this so-called illegal immigration from coming into the United States. Can you respond to that reality from your perspective as someone who is indigenous to that area?
The only response, and I can go further into that, is that migration is a natural occurring thing. I mean, people have migrated all over this land, the continent, you know, throughout since the creation of this world. No fence is going to stop that. And the reality is that we are becoming a people that are going to dissolve this idea of a superior race. It's already at that point. They're trying to deny the fact that you know, there's the people of all different colors, and they have a right to have a life the way that they want to have a life for their families. It's unfortunate that, you know, there are all these policies and laws that are very racist, that are very discriminatory to people of color. I mean, when you look at the Canadian border and you look at the Mexico border, you know, you can plainly see that.
Detention, impoverishment, police brutality, racial profiling, and harassment by the state. We reject the commission and the so-called debate on reasonable accommodation because they fail to recognize that Quebec and Canada are built on stolen Indigenous land constituted through the dispossession and genocide of Indigenous people. They're based on false and racist dichotomies between us and them, where us is made up of white people of European descent, and them is made up of migrant racialized communities perceived as threats to the national identity. We'd like to question the us that makes up Quebec identity when this us is also oppressing migrant people and Indigenous people and racialized people in Quebec. The use of the so-called women's rights framework to advance racist and sexist arguments. We reject the Islamophobia and sexism that are used to justify war abroad, as is the case on the ongoing military occupation of Afghanistan, and the attack on migrant communities, as is the case in the debate on reasonable accommodation. We reject the notion that women of faith need to be saved from their inherently oppressive and backwards cultures. And instead, we support the women who are on the front lines of their own struggles for liberation as subjects and not objects of their own transformation. This commission, sanctioned by the state, is a process of submission whereby minority populations are forced to justify their very existence in Quebec. It ignores all the current intolerance and injustice faced by the many migrant communities in Quebec while forcing them to defend themselves as good Quebecois. Instead, we organize by uncompromisingly putting forward a vision of social justice rooted in day-to-day grassroots struggles. We acknowledge and support the self-determination and sovereignty of indigenous peoples all over the Americas. We organize actively against poverty, precarity, racial profiling, police brutality, war, capitalism, and gender oppression. We organize against borders for free movement and status for all. We actively fight against state oppression and violence targeted at the most marginalized while struggling against all forms of oppression, whatever their source. And we ask people who are considering going into the commission to instead participate in our outside forum where we're talking about issues that actually affect migrant people.
We have done so much over there. I mean, like, I was like from 15 till 17, you can say the hardest years of my life, but I've still worked on it, and I mean, like, all my family, all of the refugees have done so much, and still we got nothing, like, you know, in return from these people. So I don't know if that can make a difference. I mean, like, we all do such a great work to, like, you know, show ourselves as we are, but these people, they are impossible. I don't know what they're made of. I don't know. So I don't think, I don't count on anybody. I'm like, you can say I'm not hopeless, but I have hopes, but on God and on some people I still count on, like from people on people from No One Is Illegal or Drum or my own family. But I don't count on these people that they would listen to anything. What they know is that the way their immigration works within themselves, that's all they know. their politics. That's it.
Is there anything else you want to add for people here in Montreal listening to this? Maybe your family supporters here, or just people in Montreal in general?
I would say that it's time for them to ask the Immigration Canada to, like, you know, to ask them to make right decisions, because they have been ruining other lives without, like, you know, while they are, like, you know, aware of the situation. They have been ruining, like, you know, future of so many kids, so many children, without even giving a second thought to it. So it's a time for everybody to give them, like, you know, a lesson, to ask them to give second thought to other cases, but still they have chance to look again, and even our case, because they don't know what they have done to us. I mean, like, so merciless people. This is, like, you know, this is the cruelest example of what they have done to us. So I would still ask them to go for it, because this is the time to ask for justice for themselves and for the others who have already left from Montreal. Because I don't think that they should give up, because if they do so, that it means that they have done nothing in their lives if they cannot do it. And I'm pretty sure that if they'll keep on going like this, somehow, someday they'll get it. So just that, and always remember us in their prayers, and always try to get us back over there in Montreal, because we are not happy over here.
This summer in Montreal, groups of different refugees are going to march from Montreal to Ottawa, and this was your idea. So
yeah.
Why did you come up with this idea? Why did you want to do this
march? Because I didn't go to Pakistan. I need just justice in Montreal. That's why I say the I'm going the march, and because I'm the refuse over there. I need the justice.
There is this thing. Do you realize
what is?
There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing
on.
There is this thing going on.
What
do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live.
Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. Aujourd'hui, vous avez encore Kader Beg, qui est une troisième fois avec vous. Et tu sais que le 17 novembre, ça fait 10 mois et 17 jours. Ça fait comme 300 jours et 300 nuits et 17 jours et 17 nuits que je suis dans l'église. Oh, pourquoi je suis à l'église, hein? Vous posez la question. I know you asked some question. Why Kader is stuck in the church? Because I have all these immigration problems. That's why I'm here. But right now we forget the immigration problems. We talk for other thing. Let's go talking. Bon.